Here we are.
Is this on? Hello. I was just a little bit concerned about a couple of you saying you don't need to research people and that all the answers are out there in the conversations, because what you're completely discounting is the fact that some people don't enter into those conversations but are influenced by the environments that they're in. And I'll take myself as an example. The only reason I'm here is because I've got Sam as a friend on Facebook. I saw, as I'm sure everyone here has, up on my profile it says that Sam's attending or organising this event. I decided to come along. You have no idea whether or not I've been tasked with the role in my company of finding out how to measure social media, whether or not I just wanted to meet up with a couple of ex-colleagues that I haven't seen for quite a while and get a free drink, or that actually everything that Sam posts on his blog is very influential, and I think actually that sounds like a good night to, you know, that something I should be at, because I haven't posted on, I don't run a blog of my own, I haven't posted on any forum. So how you can discount, you know, actually talking to people and finding out why they're getting involved is actually quite worrying, I think.
Because I think if we had a show of hands, how many people are here in the room because of Sam? I think that's going to just be about half of us anyway. So, Sam, look out. You're a lot more powerful than you thought.
But do you understand what I mean in terms of, I still think, I agree with you that all the tools are there to measure conversations and stuff, but you can't just discount actually asking people from, you know, you've got your quantitative study, but you've got your qualitative study as well.
You're not in absolutely right, but the two complement each other. But on top of that, I think what you're starting to find is the technology's there to start actually following the conversations that don't take place in the public sphere as well. And I think you're going to start to see that happening in the next year or two. And it's a very scary thought. And I think the idea of tracking private conversations here will freak everyone out. But don't discount what's going to happen with things like Facebook's Beacon project, etc. There isn't, well, not on our part anyway, an idea that you should completely discount talking to real people in real life. Absolutely. It's great. Let's not go away from that. It's just the two go hand in hand and complement each other.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, I think, you know, obviously there are research companies that tend to specialise in asking people questions either in focus groups or for surveys. I think, you know, we've been talking a lot about the quantitative stuff. I think the qualitative stuff, for us at least, and for our clients, is equally as important. Because obviously, remember, we are looking at, in order to come up with these quantitative measures, i.e. measuring every single individual conversation and logging that. So we have those conversations. We can show them to our clients. We pull out the key ones on a monthly basis and show them the ones that they can learn from in terms of both positive and negative ones. So, you know, that people are actually telling us what they feel and what they think about our clients' products and services, and we're sharing that with them.
Yeah, and that is an excellent point. I want to see the microphone moving some more. Where are we? Who's over here?
First of all, I'm not a marketer. I'm actually a psychologist, which tends to be a bit of a conversation stopper. Also got a funny accent. Hearing you speak, there are a lot of parallels with HR management, which I know is even more unpopular than psychology. There's some questions here which you can hang quite a lot of the conversation on. I think there's a difference between models of human behavior which sort of believe we can predict people. We somehow are kind of passive, but the newer models are all generative. And I think this is what some of the people have been saying, is that we're interested in the ideas people come up with, not with their reaction to the product of yesterday. So that's the one thing that I'm not hearing. The other thing, in the other sort of ideas I would throw out, is that you're also looking for answers rather than questions. And so when we're talking to managers, yes, they want numbers. I'm very number-oriented too. But what we have to do is provide them with the signals for action. What must they do? They want to know what they must do. Please tell me what to do. And so you have to give them data that they can act on. And that's a question. It's not an answer. And if you take HR, we say, well, why would a good HR system, if you've ever seen one, which a lot of us haven't, why would it be powerful for an organization? Primarily because it is intangible. You can't copy it. You simply cannot copy it. So if I put in a good HR system, my competitor is just left behind. And I can't sit on my laurels because this guy's going to catch up with me. I've got to have the questions for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I've got to come back to the questions. What are we going to do? And it's path dependent, you know, meaning what my competitor did yesterday, or what I did right yesterday, it's gone. Yesterday is gone. We're in tomorrow.
And the magic of the metrics is that I can measure whatever I can measure. We have some new things we can measure, and because of that, we can take action and then measure the impact of that action to see if it is benefited the brand, benefited the customer, or not. So if we've got something new we can measure, the conversation, let's embrace it, measure it, take action on it, and see if it's had a positive effect. Continuous improvement. Microphone is now over here.
Hi, my name's Dalja. I've got a PR background. The question I had was, I've worked for a lot of search marketing companies in the past, and there was a huge issue around click fraud when it came to search, because there's a very clear metric which is being measured. And the hypothetical I want to raise is that if we all, you know, in the next half an hour agree what those metrics are going to be, are we going to have teams of people in India and China just creating conversations, creating comments, clicking on YouTube links? It's probably happening already.
It is already happening, yeah.
But does creating a set of metrics make that more likely? And is there actually more honesty in social media at the moment by not having a set of agreed metrics which clients are actually paying us by? So that's the question.
I think it's a great question. I think you've hit on something, which is there is a naive honesty about social media at the moment. And there is, you know, the less rules there are, the less rules can be broken or manipulated. But I can't remember the second half of what I was about to say.
That was honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I think there are...
People find out people.
Yeah.
People will always find out if you lie.
Yeah.
They always do. The Guardian, Travel Guardian yesterday or the day before, anyone see that? Yeah. And then the Whole Foods in USA, CEO, in a stock trading forum, talking up his stock. And then he said, and don't you think the CEO's hunky too? And then got found out. People will always get found out, so I'll stop now.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's the case. There are, you know, I know for a fact there's some more unethical competitors on a small scale that are paying people to pretend to be consumers on blogs and forums and leaving false comments. I'd like to think
they
get
fined. And in real life, not just online. They're walking into bars saying, yeah, look at this cool new camera I just bought.
Yeah, and I hope Will's right. I hope people will find out and become savvy to it. I find it hard to imagine that they would still be in business if that was the case at the moment. I think, you know, there's a dual-pronged attack, which is, you know, we were one of the founder members of WOMA, which is the Word of Mouth Marketing Association in the US. We just helped found WOM UK, which is the UK equivalent. So obviously both organisations have a very strong code of ethics, which say, you know, you should not impersonate a consumer online, you shouldn't pay them to say something they don't believe, etc., etc., etc. And then there's also pan-European laws just come into effect to say it's legal to impersonate a consumer online. So there are things happening against that, I probably echo Will's sentiments. The strongest thing is if people do it too much and it becomes too obvious, people just will cotton onto it.
Yeah, following on from that, I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, and I think that the issue is not necessarily about, you know, you going in subterfuge, getting people in there to speak positively about your brand. I mean, you mentioned you had a PR background. I think, you know, a lot of the most successful case studies that we've seen are when companies are going in there and they're very open and honest. I mean, these aren't a client of ours. I think Plusnet, their marketing director was talking about this at Reputation 2.0 a few months ago, saying that, you know, the major reason that they grew their audience base so quickly was how they would go into forums and so on, and they were quite open and honest about who they were. You know, I'm Neil, and I'm the, you know, I'm part of the product specialist, the customer support team. I think what they'd notice as well, by, and this goes back to this point about measuring, why measuring is important, I think they had noticed a particularly sort of virile strain of conversations about a broadband suppliers and so on in a niche community about racing Skodas. I mean, I didn't even know that thing existed, but anyway, that's just one example. So they were in there, you know, one of their tech support guys went in there and they were just very open and honest. This is what I do. You know, what are the problems you got with the product? I can help answer those questions and so on. And they actually had a really positive feedback from that. And the great thing about that was the sort of the demographics of those sort of people who race Skodas, you know, young men and so on, are also, you know, tend to sort of have a high propensity to play football and so on. So you've got all that, you've got that viral aspect as well. So when they're discussing my broadband provider, yeah, we knew these guys, they, you know, they were telling, you know, they helped solve our problems, very open and honest, then you've got that viral capacity. So I think, you know, part of the trick, I mean, you always say, you know, what's the one word of advice about how to tackle social media? I mean, it's carefully. And I think when you go in and you're just open and honest, I think that for me is the best way of doing it. And it paid dividends for them. So
I think you're also finding a high level of integrity across a lot of the newer sites, and technology now is proving that in a way that sites demand social networks, online social networks now demand a higher level of integrity through their users. Facebook, for one, is a classic example. It requires you to be honest and truthful, and there are ways of getting around that. So lying and cheating the system to some extent, the likes of the Nielsens and the Thousand Heads wouldn't allow that. You'd stick out like a sore thumb. So I don't necessarily think that's going to be problematic of creating a single measurement. I think going back to Giles' point that it's going to be difficult to do that anyway, and even if you do, there are going to be ways to circumvent that. But these guys, hopefully, with their technologies, can stop it. So.
And I'm going to demand honesty and openness from the audience with the microphone going... we've got hands waving behind you and all over the place.
Hi there. Hello, Chris Reed from Fishburne Hedges.
Chris, wave your hand. Where are you? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Hello.
Hello, tall ginger at the back. Yeah. Story of my life. Anyway, some really interesting points here, but I can't help thinking that are we all trying to run before we can walk here? And the part of the thinking is that, you know, we've grown up, and the chief executive question earlier on I thought was really interesting, but chief execs have grown up in a time when there are 4 TV channels, when there are print media, and actually all of the media, they completely understand. Yet I can't help thinking that if we spend half an hour sitting down with the chief execs of many of the companies that we represent and actually show them the passion that is out there for their brands, they won't need to know how to measure it, because they will experience it for themselves. And what we're lacking at the moment is their ability to understand, who cares? What's Twitter? It's a load of bloody geeks, you know, actually get across
to
people.
True.
Not true indeed. But it's to get across to the people who a lot of these people in the room will represent. Actually, you can't measure passion. You have to experience it. You have to spend time experiencing it to get the most out of it.
This sounds so 1994, when we had to put the web in front. Let me show you this browser on the internet, and you can look at your competitor's website. And yeah.
I think that's a slightly patronizing view of the CEO, though, because we've done some work with BMW, for example, and you look at their target demographic, which happens to map well to the average senior manager, and they recently found in a piece of proprietary research that the most influential and important channel that those decision makers used during their research to buy an automobile was the internet. And there are other figures, lies, damn lies and statistics, but there are other alarming figures about the average age of people who watch YouTube, for example. And I think that we're seeing with our client base, which is big brands in the UK and obviously trying to deal as high up the organisation as we can, that increasingly they are much, much more savvy. They have suddenly woken up to this. I think the pay-per-click and SEO boom woke them up to it. The percentage of leads coming from the web and business coming from the web woke them up to it. So I'm kind of with you, like, generally, but I think that has changed so much in such a short space of time. And long may that continue. Lastly, you said we're trying to run before we walk. I think we are, and that's inevitable. But some of us are running to the bank, and other of us are walking around reading reports that don't tell us what we needed to know.
I quickly follow on from what Will's saying. I don't want to labour the point about the standard of measurement and so on, but really at this stage it's really missing the point. I mean, that's not what you should be focused on. As I said, with the internet itself measuring or agreeing on a standard over the number of people who visit a website, that still hasn't been reached. So, you know, there's no point looking at that at the moment. And I think, you know, to pick up on Will's point about, you know, the measurement companies, it's not good enough, that's a grossly unfair and misinformed statement. I mean, it can be done, but, you know, the cost of that is almost infinite. And, well, if advertisers and their agencies are willing to contribute towards that cost of developing that currency, then maybe, yes, it's something that could happen more quickly. But, I mean, trying to get people from all aspects of the industry to try and agree on something as sort of fundamental as that is incredibly problematic. I mean, Jim would probably give more insight about that than I could, but it really is missing the point at the moment.
Thanks. I think you guys have an incredibly important role to play, and I'm all in favour of you continuing to evolve. What I'm doing is outlining the challenges that I hear. Yeah. That's all.
Hear, hear. And the microphone is going back this way.
Hi, I'm Alex Colson from Caronel Sponsorship. We represent brands who all aspects of sponsorship. I was quite encouraged by the question from psychologists about questions, because I do feel a little bit we're all focusing a bit on output rather than necessarily outcome. And considering also the question by the gentleman next to me that that metrics could be sort of used fraudulently by people, affecting how the output rather. Do you think it might be better for us to try and come together and instead of set up a stand of uniform metrics, come up with a set of questions that could help us help different brands come up with an individual way of measuring their personal outcomes, which are important to them, rather than so the path there is the same, but each individual brand actually has much different and individual outcomes that they need.
And that's where we come up with key performance indicators, which are different for each company, for each department within the company, for each product within the department. And this is the walking around with reports that don't help us. The reports are really interesting because we've never measured this stuff before. It's fascinating stuff, but it's not useful. When we use the data to make decisions and then measure the impact, now we've got something that we can use. Can we all agree on outcomes? Well, at the moment, and this is a social moment in the evolution of humans, our outcome is related to money. And when we start measuring things in terms of monetary value and social value and environmental value, then it gets really interesting.
I think any good agency or any person who has a good understanding of measuring social media will tell you that there are two different starting points here. One is purely in terms of planning and understanding how you're actually going to go about your campaign, and the other one is actually then tweaking it and responding and tracking. So those two feed into each other. So it's not just about measuring social media for the sake of looking at these reports, but it's actually about understanding and subsequently changing any campaign that you may have in the future as well. So it has multiple aims. And I think looking upon measuring social media and as old web analytics, it's not just that old school web analytic approach. It's looking forward as well as looking backwards, and it's got dual aims, really. So I think that has to be borne in mind.
Yeah, I just pick up on that. It's not that the CEOs don't get it. I mean, on several of our clients, one in particular, we're plugged in, you know, right up to board level, working at the same level as the above the line agency, the digital agency, their, you know, multi-million pounds, like in tens of millions that they spend with the media agency. And we're all sitting at the same table helping to plan campaigns. It's not that they don't get it. It's just when they need to make a decision about how to allocate their limited marketing budget, they need to know. They need to have a better understanding, I think, than they do currently, than we can provide them of, you know, what's the ROI for those different activities? Do I spend more on TV advertising, more on online advertising, more on online word of mouth? Yeah. You know.
Yeah. I'm going to ask for show of hands one last round of questions. I've got a serious microphone waving in the back there, so we're going to make this our last question for the evening.
Hi, it's Jamie Riddell from Cheese. We've talked all evening about social media and how it could be massive and it could work really well, and we've quoted Facebook substantially, which is a nice indication because it's a massive site. But actually, in terms of numbers, what are we talking about? What percentage of, say, the Facebook audience is actually an opinionator that's pushing out, you know? What percentage of Facebook is Sam, as an example? So we can get an understanding of really, you know, there was comments thrown out earlier that no one's looking at advertising, no one's clicking on ads, which is untrue and subject for another discussion. But really, you know, is this massive? Is this going to rival budgets being spent elsewhere? Or is this still a grower, and a very good grower at that?
One thing I would say is your question about, like, how many opinionators are there and that kind of thing, I think that's very contextual. So, you know, my mate Paul, who's a plasterer, is very opinionated when I then need to ask for a plumber recommendation. And that's a great example of positive word of mouth. So I think it changes. And I think, I don't actually know the article in depth, but I think any of you like me who have read Tipping Point and believed in it should now read an article by a guy called Duncan Watts, I think, that was published by Fast Company, that challenges in a very interesting way, and I can't talk about it fluently, the concept of influencers. There will be some people here who know lots more about it, but I think the gist of it was the idea that there are super influencers is a myth, and that you know, kind of influence is contextual and other stuff that I don't know.
Can I then possibly tweak the question? What size of people are out there are actively communicating versus passively connecting? So we're not specifically talking about Paul the Plasterer, but you know, what people, who's pushing and who's receiving?
That's a very good question. There's a very interesting study done of Wikipedia, Yahoo Groups, YouTube, and one other. And they found, it's called the 1% rule that, again, a lot of you will be familiar with. And they found that 1%, often less than 1% of people, actually created the content. So I think on Wikipedia it's 0.5%. But they're a very passionate kind of voluminous outputters of stuff. And then there is another section of people who they call editors, which is kind of like a 10% tranche of people. So 1% create, 10% fiddle with. So that might be tagging something on YouTube rather than uploading the content in the first place or favouriting it. And then lastly, there's the couch potatoes, which is me and you, brother. And that's a useful way of looking at it. But again, it's like, I mean, I'm at risk here of being picked on by these guys now, and they'll say that you can't measure that, and it changes, and they're probably right. So it's probably out of date. But yeah, there are ratios, and that varies from community to community. So some communities, you'll have very few couch potatoes, shed loads of creators and editors, and a foaming mass of communication. And others, frankly, it relies on a very few to avoid the kind of digital tumbleweed.
But the paradigm's changing, I think, and Facebook's quite interesting just purely for that reason, is because there's a much higher level of daily engagement. I can't give you the exact stats, but I mean, looking at it recently, it's fairly significant. Apparently, the highest group on Facebook now globally is the above 35 group and is the most active. So what's interesting is that as it becomes more contextually sensitive, as, for example, you create groups and events that relate to you on Facebook, you end up with a very high level of engagement because people are doing things that are relevant directly to them, which is slightly different to the paradigm that exists in Wikipedia, for example. So I think, in a way, as you look at things like Facebook, they end up driving this idea of measuring social media forward because you get a higher level of engagement. I think that will probably continue to change in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I'm going to probably finish my comments by saying I wholeheartedly agree with Will on that one with his stats and so on. Yeah. I mean, I never thought I'd say that. That sounds about right to me. I mean, just looking at, I don't know, MySpace, for example, I mean, not necessarily in terms of content creation and so on, but with many of the social networks and when we sort of do an analysis of usage by time and so on, generally it's about 10 to 15% of people account for between 85 to 90% of total time. I mean, that is, it's not the same in every network, but that's quite a good rule of thumb for in terms of the percentage of usage accounted for by the small minority.
And I would like to round out my comments for the evening by taking the opportunity to thank you for coming, to thank our sponsors for making this possible, thanking Sam for whipping it all together, and please a round of applause for our panelists tonight. Thank you.
Chinwag Live Measuring Social Media was sponsored by eMetrics Marketing Optimization Summit and NEDSTAT.